Hugh Hefner, a true American icon, created an empire that was unrivaled.
Although some of us bunnies may have gone rogue, it's because of the love and respect that we received from the man behind it all.
Because after all, we did learn from the best.
Relive the stories from the most prominent celebrity home in history.
What happens in the grotto stays in the grotto.
From those of us that lived it,
the employees that worked it,
and the guests who loved it.
And
the mayhem continues.
I don't really give a rat's ass about fashion.
And I think that's the perfect way to start off this show. We're going to have some fun today.
We'll talk more about why he's saying that.
that's actually actor Ron Moss, a singer as well, and we'll be getting into more of that. And we have the lovely Devin DeVasquez, our June 1985, and Rogue Woo-hoo, Bunny.
Rogue Series Bunny. 2 Rogue
yes,
Bunny.
Yes, Series 2 Rogue Bunny. Welcome, gang.
Hey.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So we'll just go right into this don't give a rat's ass. So before we started filming, Devin was talking about you guys at Fashion Week. Go ahead, Devin.
No. This was when Ron and I first started dating.
I
didn't know him that well, and we were dating, and he was at my house. I remember he had to go to the Emmys, and he was walking with the woman who played his mother, Susan Flannery. And he had his tuxedo and he forgot his bow tie. And he came to me and he went, Devin, can I borrow one of your scarves? And I looked at him and I went, you're not going to wear a scarf with that tuxedo, are you? He took this Missoni scarf that I had that was multicolored. He wrapped the Missoni scarf and he did it in such a clever way that only he could pull this off. I looked at him and I went, only you could pull this off. And sure
the fact
enough,
that she even knew that was a Missoni scarf makes me crazy.
I don't even know who Missoni is.
That makes me crazy. That she actually knew the type of scarf it was and who designed it and all. I just,
for God's sake. It was like, I couldn't believe you were going to wear a scarf with a tuxedo, number one. And
he might have started his own fashion. I love it.
At least you picked a Missoni scarf. It was just.
I don't know what I picked. I just picked something because I forgot the tie. I forgot the freaking tie.
As you can see, my husband has a thing for scarves. He likes yes. to wrap them in different ways. But then he'll say to the press, at the Melbourne Cup in Australia, one of the most elegant fashion statements where women wear their hats and dress up and everything. And I go, what do you think of fashion, Ron? And Ron goes, I don't give a rat's ass about fashion.
I think the funniest thing was.
He loves to say that.
Was, yes, I said that. But the funniest thing was it just spilled out live to everybody. And the camera guys couldn't do anything about it. They just went, that just went out live. I went, great.
Yeah. That's so funny.
He played a fashion designer as Ridge Forrester for 25 years.
On Bold and the Beautiful.
Exactly. I was going to mention that.
Bold and the Beautiful. So,
of course, that would be their question to you. And I love it. You just blew it right out of the water.
They expected me to go off and tell about the designers that I know and all this stuff. And no.
See, Ron, you're my kind of guy, right? Yeah. You're my kind of guy. It's like, I don't give a shit about any of that stuff. Like, this is my job. I played my role. You know what I mean? Whatever. Come on, let's just hurry up and do this.
The Ridge and the Ron thing are completely different, you guys.
Hell yeah.
Look, I'll do a quick thing because I don't want to take up too much time here. I have a big respect now. Even though I don't give a rat's ass for fashion, I have a big respect for the job I did and the role I played. And I actually mentored with this wonderful fashion designer named Valentino in Italy.
Wow.
But I wound up going to his 30-year retrospective and going, wow, I get it now. I get it why people are so obsessed with this. The amount of work and the design element that he put into these artistic things he did was fantastic. So in that way, I developed, through doing that role, an appreciation for artistry.
You do give a rat's ass about scarves, though.
Ron, you don't mind if we ask Devin some questions in about her relationship with
Go for it. I don't have that jealousy gene.
That's freaking awesome. I can already tell the way you guys interact. It's so cool.
She has her life before me. I cannot change that.
20 years now.
I have my life before her. She cannot change that. Everything we have done up to this point brought us together at that moment 20 years ago. So that's the concept that I go by. And I thank these gentlemen that she knew before because they have brought her to now, to me. It's all a process of the universe working in mysterious ways. Aww. But I can't bemoan who she's been with or what she's done. Everything that happened in her life has been done for a lesson for her. And the same for me and the same for all of you. So we have to take these lessons and relish them. However good or bad you view it, they are lessons in our life that bring us to where we are now.
I think we need to add a little something on our podcast. 1 minute of Zen with Ron. Yeah. Because, like, that was really good.
1 minute of Zen.
Are you going to make him an honorary rogue bunny now?
No, he's called a bunny bro. That's what the men are called.
Victoria, can I say something?
Yeah.
Can I say something that I love about you? I was thinking today, I want to show that picture that I took of you years ago.
Oh, yes.
Pregnant yes. with your little girl. That was one of the most beautiful pictures I think I've ever taken. And I still love that picture. You look so gorgeous.
Where was the picture taken at?
So we went to, he has a cabin that's been in his family for 100 years or whatever. It's at the time, I don't know what it looks like now, but at the time, you know, it was an old cabin. And so they invited John and I out. I think I was 8 months pregnant and I hadn't taken any pregnancy pictures. And Ron's a great photographer. And he's like, let's take pictures of you, whatever, by the lake with your belly and the whole thing. I'm like, nah, nah. And he goes, if you don't take these pictures, you're going to regret it. And I'm like, I don't have anything to wear. And he goes, I have a scarf.
Of course.
I'm not shitting you. I'm not lying.
That's freaking awesome.
So
of course he does.
So I did a whole thing with the scarf and the... They were really beautiful pictures. That was a really fun trip. And their little cabin was so funny because we get there and the cabin's very dilapidated. It's old. So there was a frog coming out of the sink. There was all this stuff.
You know, Victoria, burned down.
What?
It burned. Yeah, in the woodsy fires.
Thanks, hon. That was such a lovely story. And now you just fucking torched it.
Do you still have the property?
Oh, for God's sakes. I love you, hon. But God, yeah, sometimes.
So, Devin, now you are a rogue bunny. And I hear your AMAs have been going off the charts. I mean, I heard your AMA was just sick. Like, everybody was having so much fun. Are you having a blast, like, reliving all the memories? Because we're all part of Playboy, and now, you know. It's time to move on. We go on to the
I've always known Victoria was special, and I was always a fan of her art. These girls, we've grown up together. I had 35 years, I guess, at the Playboy Mansion. I mean, it's weird. I was 21 when I was a playmate.
That's amazing. So.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I have a couple questions for you I'd like to ask.
Please.
So, tell us about what it was like dating Prince.
Oh, God.
Tell us everything. What kind of underwear did he wear?
Did he really wear a raspberry?
Did he wear underwear? No, sure.
You know, Prince could wear high heels and be dressed to the nines, which he always was. And he did not wear underwear, by the way.
Okay. No panty lines.
He was always wearing those pants that
tight.
Were see-through. You could see his butt from the back. And he gave me three of those outfits.
Where are those now?
Well, they got stolen.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they got stolen it's so long ago when you have stuff like that. I really wish I had encased them and put them away. I was very naive and trusting. I had them packed in a box, stored at a friend's house, and they just mysteriously disappeared.
Yeah.
So
why did he give you his clothes? What was his just, hey, you want these?
Because she's the only one that could fit into them.
I was the only one.
Seriously.
Yeah.
At the time, she was the only one that could fit, fit into them beautifully.
Guy. It was really funny because the best memory I have was I wore this little red, I say Little Red Riding Hood dress because I look like Little Red Riding Hood in this dress. I was backstage and Prince was putting on his makeup and he was looking at me through the mirror and he looked at me in that Little Red Riding Hood dress and he says, come here. And he took my hand, took me to the next room where he had a bunch of his costumes, his clothing. And he said, here, put this on. So I went and put on his pants and the ruffled shirt, the same type of clothing he wore during Purple Rain, and it was the one with the butt cut out. You have that picture, hon. Can you pull it up and show it to him? Because I did.
He made you wear pants with no butt in it?
I did take a pic. I did take.
That's why I'm here. That's the only reason I'm here.
Yeah.
The look on
I
your
take
face
out the trash way. Too. I take out the trash. I serve her a cappuccino, and I find your pictures for her.
It was this picture, that picture. That was one of the outfits he gave me.
That's so cool.
So it was the ruffle. And I'm a size, my feet were the same size as his because he wore the boots that matched the pants. Prince, he was 5'2", but when he wore the heels, he was as tall as me. And I'm 5'6", 5'6" and a half. So Prince could wear, similar to Ron with his scarves, he could wear high heels, and he's pretty much the only man I've ever known that could wear high heels and
pull
and
it
make
off.
A statement right. Like well, Ron does.
Ron, I want to hear about the high heels that you try to show off for Devin. But we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. You are listening to Rogue Bunnies.
Hurry.
Did you miss out on the first two Rogue Bunnies trading card drops? Don't let that happen again. Series 3 digital trading cards will be dropping very soon, and we have brand new gorgeous Rogue Bunnies to collect. Want more details? Make sure to join our Discord for the most up-to-date announcements. You can go to roguebunnies.com to find our official links. In the meantime, get your Dapper wallet ready to collect Rogue Bunnies Series 3 packs. And the mayhem continues.
Welcome to the metaverse!
We have questions.
So, Devin, as we're talking about Prince, were you ever asked or approached to maybe do the Apollonia role?
No, because Apollonia, when I met Prince, it was at the end of 1984. So Purple Rain had already come out.
Gotcha.
I put all of this in my memoir because I didn't want to forget that time in my life. So I put it all in my
memoir.
I'm gonna
read this. I gotta get this book
about Prince. And all of these stories that I'm telling you are in there.
Tell us the name of the book so our audience can hear.
It's The Day It Snowed in April.
By Devin DeVasquez. If you want to hear all the nitty gritty, deeper dive into her Prince experience. Yeah.
Now, Devin, I'm just curious, though. When you tell these stories in your book, are you sharing, like, fun stories or do you share salacious secrets that maybe, you know, he wouldn't appreciate? Only reason I'm bringing that up because so many people are putting books out now and it seems they're always going for a negative.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Well, no, because I wrote this book in 2017, right after Prince passed away. And it was because there were so many amazing memories that I had during that time in my life. I mean, I met Prince, and the very next day, I met Hef. That
what?
Was my
what?
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. So you win Star Search.
I met Prince before I met Hef. And it was because of Playboy that I met Prince, but it was in Chicago the day before I was leaving to go to LA for the first time and go to the mansion. And so it was like I met Prince, and the very next day I flew to LA.
Where did you meet Prince?
I met Prince in Chicago.
I know, but like how? Like what were you doing?
Okay. Bottom line is I was being compared to Apollonia because Purple Rain had come out and Richard Fegley was shooting my Playboy pictorial, and he was a Prince fan. He actually took me to the concert because he kept saying, we should get a picture with you with Prince. He's in town for a whole week. And I think they thought Playmates and rock stars went hand in hand. Why wouldn't he want to meet an upcoming Playmate, right?
Absolutely.
So he took me to the concert. We saw Prince for the first time. I had not even seen Purple Rain, but people were telling me, you look like the girl in Purple Rain. So it was on my bucket list, but I was shooting my pictorial, and you know how that is. When you're shooting your pictorial back then, you shoot the same thing for a whole week. So I was shooting with Richard. Richard went, took me to the concert, and he went backstage and showed his credentials and said, I'm a Playboy photographer. She's an upcoming Playmate. We would like to meet Prince. Like it was going to be a no-brainer, you know. And this big brawny bodyguard looked at him and went, he don't like to take pictures. He don't want to meet nobody. So he turned us away. And the next day, Richard was so pissed off that we did not get to meet Prince and get that picture that he went to the Playboy's publicity department and had them call Prince's publicity people. Told him the same thing. And he said the same thing. He looked at my book. He met me. And then he went, well, he doesn't really like to meet anybody. It's like, why are we here? And then we were leaving. And as soon as we were leaving, the bodyguard with a Purple Rain jacket came over and went, are you a model? Because I had my portfolio. And then he took my portfolio and he goes, can I show these to Prince? And I went, yeah, that's why we're here. So he went, showed my pictures to Prince, went upstairs. And he came back down and he went, Prince would like to meet you. And I went, yes, that's why we're here.
Once again, that's why we're here.
He goes, no, he wants you to come to the concert. And I was thinking, oh, geez, I just saw the concert. You know, we want a picture. But he sent a limo to pick me up and they put me in the first row of the concert.
Wow.
I had never been in the first row of a concert in my life. And, you know, I had seen the concert the night before, and I knew he was very sexual. He was always, you know, doing this kind of thing. You remember?
You're licking your hand there. Okay.
Yeah. Licking his hand and being all suggestive.
We all do that all the time.
and doing the splits. And so he came out on this show with me in the first row. And he was doing all that, and I could see everything. And he split his pants, and he did not have any underwear on. And I could see everything. So I was just like, because he was like being all sexual and trying to play the whole concert.
I wonder if that could hurt if you rip and it comes out and you go, oh, that could be a problem.
Yeah. So can you imagine that outfit that I was wearing? One of those. He does a split, splits his pants while he's being all suggestive and singing Do Me Baby.
It's a little more than just suggestive to split your pants.
Yeah, you split your pants. And then he looked like he was embarrassed. So long story short, he does.
His ass wasn't bare. It was the other thing.
He does the show, okay, you guys. And after the show, the same bodyguard that took my portfolio up to see him, he comes to me. His name was Wally. And he said, Devin, Prince would like to t- take a shower before he meets you. So can you guys go back to the hotel? And I was like, okay, because I'm still with Candy. It's been all day trying to get
Candy shitting her pants at this point.
Right. So we're on our way. That guy Chick was from Purple Rain was driving this van, and it was December, 2 weeks before Christmas, 1984 in Chicago. It started hailing and he swerved to not hit something. And the van was like doing a double loop through the medium and it hit the medium.
Oh man.
And I remember smelling gas and somebody pulled me out of the van. And then we had to hitchhike with the rest of the roadies back to the hotel. So you can imagine after.
It's like Survivor.
Yeah. It's like, I had a leather dress on, my hair's drenched with the.
Oh God, you're about to meet Prince.
I'm about to meet him. I'm hungry. I just said to Candy as we were spinning around, oh my God, I'm going to die trying to meet this guy, Prince, for a picture. And I'm hungry because I've
this guy, Prince. Sorry, I can't let that go.
Okay, this is the way I was thinking, right? Because it wasn't my idea. It was Richard's idea, and I was just going along with it all. And so we get to the hotel. My knees started shaking because after the trauma of something, I'm very calm. But then afterwards, it's like a physical reaction I have with my knees. And I was hungry too. And the bodyguard came and he goes, we have this whole floor. This is your room. You guys can rest and chill in here. And I'll call you when Prince is ready to see you. So wow. I'm like waiting. I'm lying on the bed and Candy's there. She goes, Devin, you should just chill and relax because I couldn't stand up. So I'm lying down and all of a sudden Candy nudges me and I open my eyes and there's Prince standing over me with the hair over one eye and the little white lace glove. And he looks down. He's looking down at me with his hand out to shake my hand. And he goes, hi, I'm Prince. And I sit up, and as I sit up, he backs up to the dresser, and I immediately go into, did you hear about the wreck? And I started talking about the accident, and he looked at me, and he went, where are you from? And I said, Louisiana, and that's what broke the ice, because he said, oh, my dad's from Louisiana. Do you know Cottonport? And then he started talking, looking at me and talking to me. And he goes, I heard you were hungry. And all of a sudden, somebody pushes in this long table of all kinds of food. And I'm thinking to myself, he knew I was hungry, but he didn't know about the wreck. Like, that was just so weird, you know. And so as we were talking, I said, you know, I got to ask for this picture. We've been trying to get a picture with you. I'm going to be a playmate. And he goes, I'm sorry. I don't like to take pictures. And at that point, I thought I was just going to break down and cry, you guys. I was just sort of devastated. And he says, well, it's nice to meet you. And I shook hands with him. He left the room and I'm thinking, okay, I'm ready to go home now. And as soon as we were getting ready to leave, the phone rang. And it was the bodyguard again. And he said, Devin, Prince would like to know if he can talk to you alone. Because Candy was there the whole time, right? And so I said, okay. So they took me over to his room. And when he opened the door, he gave me a cookie. And he acted like a little kid. He all of a sudden, his persona was completely different than it was on stage, than that guy I had just met. He goes to the piano. He starts playing the piano like he was trying to impress me in some way. And then he goes, it was Sheila E.'s birthday. And would I like to go to the party with him the next day. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't. I have to go to LA and meet Hugh Hefner. That's when he left the room. That's when he said, oh, okay, nice to meet you. And he left the room. And then the next day I'm on a plane, I'm going up to the mansion, the limo's going up that long driveway. And I'm thinking, what a freaking week I'm having. I can't I'm just like, this is crazy. So I meet Hef, and it was a little anticlimactic, I must say, considering what I had gone through the day before with Prince.
Well, because Hef wasn't like dancing, gyrating, and licking his palms.
No, because all the things I thought of the mansion was like, oh my God, this is the mansion. You know, it was a movie night. It was like, there were no naked people anywhere. I was like, Hef was a perfect gentleman. There was just nothing crazy to tell. The only thing was, I did go to my first Hollywood party. A couple of playmates took me out and we went to Richard Perry's house. And this was my first Hollywood party. And there was the guy, the other guy that was in Purple Rain, Morris Day.
Oh.
And he comes up to me and he goes, would you like to dance? And I went, I just met a friend of yours. And he goes, oh yeah, who's that? And I said, Prince. And he goes, that's your problem. And he walks away. And I was thinking, oh my God, and I guess they're not friends, you know? And after that, we went back to the mansion and the butlers were so excited. They're like, Devin, Prince had Chick, the big white-haired bodyguard in Purple Rain, had him call the mansion, left a message saying Prince from Purple Rain wants to speak to Devin. So I go back and the butlers gave me this message. So, of course, I called Chick back and he goes, Devin, Prince would like to call you. And I said, well, he can call me here. And he says, no, he doesn't want to call you there. When will you be back in Chicago? And I said, I'll be back the day after Christmas. And I gave him my number. And sure enough, the day after Christmas, I was back in Chicago and I get a phone call at 2 a.m. It was Prince. And I was like, how do I really know this is Prince? You know, like he was such a different person again over the phone. He was and I told him about Morris Day and I told him about my first trip to LA and all. And we started talking on the phone. And after about a week, I really didn't believe it was him because we would talk for several hours on the phone.
Wow.
And he kept calling me. And I kept thinking, how do I know it's really you? You seem so different over the phone. And he says, well, would you like to see me again? And I said, well, yes. And that's when his tour manager, Alan Leeds, called me and got my information. And he sent me first class ticket to Dallas. And that was our first official date, I guess you could say, because in Dallas, I had dinner with him. He had a chef make us dinner. He was the perfect gentleman. I saw the concert at the sound booth because it was completely sold out. His manager, who later became my manager, Steve Fardinoli, was there. And that's the first day that he gave me his outfit. And I put it on and everybody thought I was Apollonia.
Wow.
When I went out because I was dressed like her.
How long did you date Prince?
You know, we dated for about 6 months. And when my issue came out was pretty much when we split up. The details are all in The Day It Snowed in April.
Okay, so good job.
Everyone's got to get the book. You got to get the book.
We don't have time to get into it, Victoria.
Well, who did it better, Sly or Prince?
Depends on what you're talking about. I mean, if you're talking about high heels, then, you know, Prince for sure.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I can't imagine Sylvester Stallone in heels.
Yeah.
No. No, Sly is a lot more like Ron. Motorcycles, guns. I went gun shooting with Sly and was on the back of his motorcycle. But Prince had a motorcycle too. Actually, the first time I was on the back of any motorcycle was Prince's. And I was worried because I thought the bike was bigger than him.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be worried too.
Well, he's not very tall, you know.
No, he's 5'2".
He's not very big, so a motorcycle like that would be.
But what a whirlwind. I mean, this is cool that you dated both Prince and Sylvester Stallone. You become a playmate up at the mansion. You get to meet Hugh Hefner. But look, you got a great relationship with Ron. I want to know how you two met.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows Ron, of course, from Bold and the Beautiful. I mean, how did you two
we were know? Reintroduced to by Lorenzo Lamas and Barbara Moore.
Oh, okay.
They actually orchestrated on it because I was going to be in Barbara and Lorenzo's wedding as a bridesmaid, and they didn't get married. And thanks to them, we were reintroduced. But Ron and I met, ironically, 18 years before. I got my SAG card saying hi to him in a movie called Hot Child.
Shut up.
City. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know it was him until 18 years later.
That is.
I was doing a small part in the movie. Devin was an extra at the time. They gave her one line, which was coming up to this guy at the bar and going, you know, hello or something like that. That guy turned out to be me. That we didn't realize crazy. This until 18 years later.
That is
when
crazy.
She looked at my resume and saw that movie on my resume and she decided to watch it. If you blinked, you missed that part. But she went, isn't that Ron? She realized that we had actually met 18 years before we became reconnected through Lorenzo Lamas and Barbara Moore.
That's incredible.
Freaking fate, man.
Yeah. And your wedding was beautiful. Therese was in your wedding. My daughter in your wedding.
Therese was our little flower girl. Yeah. And
she's a professional flower girl now.
Oh, yeah. Well, she was supposed to be in Hef. She was. But so Devin told her she had a little basket with flower petals and it was a really long aisle to walk down, the bride and the groom to walk down or whatever.
Yes.
And you had said to Therese, you're going to be going like this all the way down. Make sure and dump all the roses, right? Like make sure, whatever. So she gets all the way to the end and she realizes they're not all dumped out. So she's going like this and looking around. Like, and then she's going like this with the basket.
She just dumped it out.
She's one pile.
You know, we're all waiting for her to finish so that we can, you know, the bride can come and everything.
Aww,
it was
that's
so
adorable.
Funny.
And you know
she
what?
Was so
we
sweet.
Had, we had such a beautiful wedding party that the guy who did our wedding album, he said people didn't think we were a real couple. They thought we were models for his
it was
wedding
so pretty.
Photography.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I want to get into is because we talked about Prince. You got to date Prince for 6 months and that's amazing. You know, I mean what an amazing artist. But Ron, you dude, come on. You're an artist yourself. You know,
yes.
You're a singer. We want to talk more about that. I want to hear, did you use that at all to woo Devin? You know, Prince obviously had to have wooed her. You know, he got on the piano. He talked about that. So, Ron, Baby Come Back. Everybody knows that song.
Baby Come Back.
No, right? That was way before Devin.
Ron serenaded me naked playing the guitar and singing an original song that he wrote.
Wow.
Wow.
And was that in, where was that, hon?
In bed.
See, I'm kind of picturing not full nude here going. I'm picturing Ron still with the scarf.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still see the scarf.
No, he was naked with the guitar.
That's awesome.
I did serenade her naked in bed. So that kind of cinched the deal there. It was a good beginning.
You still performing?
Not naked, no. I stopped.
Excellent choice.
It got to be too popular and I couldn't handle the crowd. So,
no. Plus it's cold.
Maybe just the scarf and the guitar now, hon. You can go out like that.
I do perform now. We do a lot of concerts overseas mainly because that's where we spend most of our time, at least half the year. I have a new album called Surprise Trip Love, which was the music I wrote for a film that we wrote and produced called Surprise Trip. Surprise Trip, we filmed it in Puglia, where we live half the year in Italy. And we used all Pugliese actors. The movie is out now. We're getting distribution for around the world. It's been in Italy only, so we're getting distribution for the rest of the world. But the soundtrack was Surprise Trip Love.
Can we talk you into maybe giving us a little taste of what this new album is going to be like?
Yeah, the album is out, Surprise Trip Love. You can find it on Amazon and all that stuff. But I'll
look
do
that.
A little.
See, I knew he'd have a guitar right there.
I love this so much.
Lug it in, baby.
This is a song I wrote in Milano, of all places. I wrote it basically about my wife, Devin. So many songs now the last while have been written about her that some she knows are about her and some you can assume are about her, but they are about her. This song is called Crazy for You. Feed the dog, feed the cat, feed the ego. Let me start that again. Feed the dog, feed the cat, feed the ego, feed my soul, feed the tender beast. Drive me home, drive me crazy, and don't ever, ever let it cease. I carry on, I push way back, don't ask me to take the blame. Can you tell me, please, why it all seems so insane? 'Cause I'm crazy, 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 so crazy about you. Crazy for you. Trouble is, I see through walls you can never be too sure. But diving deep beneath the heap, you can never be too pure. Do you see the heat? Do you feel the light? I'm showing you my best side. I guess the time is up, and what I'm trying to say, I just can't hide. 'Cause I'm crazy, 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 so crazy about you. Crazy about you. After anything you want, I've got the time. Till all hell freezes. I don't know if a broken heart mends or learns to live in pieces. 'Cause I'm crazy, crazy, crazy for you. Yes, I'm crazy, crazy, crazy for you. Yeah, I'm crazy, crazy, crazy for you.
Yes. Ron, that was freaking
that was
awesome.
Good.
Devin, how does that feel to have a song written for you? Well, multiple songs written for you, obviously.
Well, it was kind of a running joke with him because he kept saying, I'm going to write a song for you, because he knew Prince did. And so I kept waiting. And I think it took him about 10 years. And now it's a flood of songs that he's put on this album, which is really beautiful. I have so many favorites. It's hard to pick and choose one song Ron's written. He's so talented.
What was the name of the song Prince wrote for you?
It was called Bedtime Story.
Of course.
It was on Sheila E's second album. When he told me, I wrote a song for you. It was just the music at first. He hadn't put the lyrics to it. And then he said, I put the lyrics to it. And one of the lyrics said, once upon a time there was a princess. She was so fine, but she was all alone because her prince had no time. Stay with me, tell me a bedtime story. And it was because most of our relationship during those 6 months was when he won the Grammys and was, you know, because he was on tour when I met him and I was shooting for Playboy. So we were both very, very busy and he would call me on the phone and talk to me for hours, or I'd go to Sunset Sound and play basketball with him and watch him record. He was always working. He was so busy that we didn't get to see a whole lot of each other, but it was a really special period getting to know him. I put it all in the memoir, you guys.
Once again, got to get the book, people. Ron, I can tell, as a musician myself, by the way, your voice was freaking awesome. As a musician myself, I could feel everything you were singing. And that was cool. And that's you two right now. I'm telling you, this show has inspired me because your relationship is what I dream about.
Yeah, I always say, you know, because people, the press have asked me over the years, do you get jealous that Ron has kissed so many beautiful women because was a professional kisser on the Bold and the Beautiful? And I said no.
It's in his IMDb. It's in there. Yeah, you know,
I said no. The only time I got jealous for anything was when the show writers took the fact that Ron has always made me a cappuccino and brings it to me shirtless in bed. He has done this for the last 20 years with me. And one time while he was still on the show, they knew this because we used to make jokes about it online. And so Ridge took a cappuccino to Brooke and brought it to her shirtless in bed.
Oh, no.
And that really bothered me. That was really, that really pissed me off. But kissing, no.
Well, you two, we got to definitely have you come on.
Yes.
I want you guys to come back. Would you guys come back? We would love to have you on.
Baby, come back.
Yeah, baby, come back.
Okay, sweetheart.
Next time, he will be naked playing the guitar with a scarf.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll make sure that's a live that everybody can tune into.
I'm actually naked from the waist down now, but you can't tell, can you?
Don't stand up.
Devin, Ron, thank you so much, man.
You're welcome. It was great to see you guys.
We are Rogue Bunnies Mayhem. And
the mayhem continues.
Oh, it's so fun.
Hey, Mayhem Familia. Don't forget to click, like, and subscribe. And tell all your friends.
Also, visit us at rbmayhemshow.com. That's rbmayhemshow.com.
And I want to give a special thanks to Dapper Labs, Flow, Gig Labs, and also Flow Score. And
the Mayhem continues!